This world, this dunya, is a place of desires, an abode of desires. A person in his mind, in his thoughts, always has desires, and new fresh thoughts and desires emanate and arise, and thoughts keep on progressing and developing, and a person keeps on developing desires and aspirations. And Allah Ta'ala has made our wujud, our body, our minds, our hearts like this. And if we see that which person is there, which man or woman is there who doesn't have a desire? Which woman is there that doesn't have a desire? Which man doesn't have a desire that we all want to go to paradise? And we want Al-Firdaus, the highest rank of paradise, the highest reward in paradise. And all of the promises that Allah Ta'ala has given for paradise, we want them all to be fulfilled. And everybody has this desire, and we should have this desire. And it's a jais desire, permissible desire. There's no doubt in this. So we have the desire, and the desire, it continues. And if we have the same desire, the person's lying down and he's thinking on his bed that I want 3 shops or 4 shops, and I want this to be mine, I want this as well, this is my money, I want my money to increase. And we have desires, all of us. But after these desires, will we attain those things that we think about? We don't attain them, do we? So a person with understanding, with akal, he'll say that I have a desire. Let me try to attain this, what I'm thinking, that I can attain these things. And the reality is that when we try to attain our desires or implement, to have good desires is good, but to just have desires and aspirations is foolishness. Just to hinge our life on this. We need to progress to the next step after dreaming and hoping and having these thoughts and desires. The next step after thinking and having these plans is to implement physically. That I have the desire, I want to go into paradise, I want Jannatul Firdaus, I want the high maqam. This is good. And this is good thinking. But do we just keep on thinking about this and just stay like this for the rest of our life? That's foolishness. And the people of understanding, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, after having these thoughts, to attain these thoughts, to attain practically, then they practically, physically take steps. Make steps that I need to do something to attain this. So Allah Ta'ala, when He allows a person to think of good things in his mind or her mind, then for this a person should then go to the next step and make effort, physical effort. Now for effort, Allah Ta'ala says that when a person makes effort, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes his effort easy or her effort easy. A person's effort is made simple. It's obvious that if I have this desire in my mind, that I want Jannatul Firdaus, I want the highest level in paradise in the hereafter. Now for this, to fulfill this desire, to fulfill this ambition, the man thinks, what shall I do? I've got, for example, things around me. What shall I do? How should I live? What do I need to do? So all our life, do we just keep on thinking that, how do I get to paradise? How do I get to this destination? How can I travel in this journey of life? So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, for this reason, sent the Quran to us, revealed the Quran to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us these messages in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has laid it out very clearly and plainly and simply for us. A very beautiful message Allah Ta'ala has given. We read this. Allah Ta'ala has submitted some points. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned points. How do we attain Jannatul Firdaus? How do we attain the highest level in the hereafter? So we listen to this. Let's study these points, alhamdulillah. So we can get there. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can understand this discussion. Then everything will become very easy for us. And it will be easy to follow the path and get to the destinations. What is there? Allah Ta'ala says there are 4 things we need to do. How many? 4. The Quran tells us this. That those who have the desire, they need to do 4 things. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. So what's the first thing? Tawbah. وَأَصْلَحُوا. And the second thing is, after tawbah, repentance, إِصْلَح, to rectify ourselves. And the third thing Allah Ta'ala mentions, that Allah's ahkams, to practice them. Orders, وَاحْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, and on the Qur'an, and on the orders of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should have total yaqeen, certainty, the orders that have come from Allah and from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should have total belief. وَحَتَّسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Allah have total yaqeen on this. And those are the ahkamats that Allah has given to us, delivered to us. We should accept them. Allah's orders, Allah's decree. And the fourth thing, that when you do these first three things, and the fourth thing, that Allah Ta'ala says, what should we do? What should we have? We read this verse, do we? In the Quran, what is the fourth action? That the amal that Allah Ta'ala has explained, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, that how should we implement those actions? أَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. That amal action should be that there should be no contamination, khalis, pure, sincere for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sincerity, whatever amal that you practice. For example, khalis, totally pure, no mixture, no contamination, no dunya ambition or greed or riya, showing off or trying to attain glory, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, when you do these four actions and you try for this, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَعْمَالْ مُؤْمِنُونَ, then Allah Ta'ala says, that's it. That's what I need from you. You are then into that. You are a member of that group, which I, Allah Ta'ala says, I define as the mu'mineen, the believers. That's it. And then Allah Ta'ala states that when you reach to this group, and when you come to the title of mu'min, then Allah Ta'ala says, what is the reward for the mu'mineen? Ajrun azima. For those people who attain the rank, the title of mu'mineen, and he becomes a believer and comes to me, Allah says, أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, very great ajr I will give to them, great reward. جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, the highest level in paradise. So what we realize is that after thoughts and aspirations and ambition, we need to try. We need to make effort. When a person makes effort, he makes effort on what? First, number one, step number one, to make physical effort on what? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Allah Ta'ala says, Tawbah. Tawbah, repentance, repent, regret. So we have a thought that today I've started to think, and Allah Ta'ala has put into my heart the desire. What do we do first? Okay, let me do Tawbah first. Let me repent first. Let me try to annul and eliminate all of those wrong things I've done before. How do we do Tawbah? We do Tawbah to Allah. We repent to Allah. And what is Tawbah? A person, the human being, he comes to the court of Allah, the presence of Allah, and says, Allah, I need your forgiveness, all the wrong that I've done, Allah. And now whatever happens, munafiq, hypocrite, whatever the person, whatever hal he or she is in, the person comes to Allah and he tries. This is the desire. Look, it's an attempt. Allah likes the effort. Without this effort, no success can come. So that man, the woman, does tawbah. Allah Ta'ala says, fine. You've come to Allah, Allah the Lord, Allah is Lord, Rabbul Alameen, Rabbul Alameen. All of our sins that we present in front of Allah, say, Allah, I've come to your court, I'm surrendering, Allah. I'm sinful, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. So this is called, this, the tariqah, the method of this tawbah, Allah is mentioned in the Quran. Not that we don't know the tariqah of tawbah, Allah has mentioned this as well. As Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha stated in Bukhari and Muslim, this is a Sahih hadith that I'm presenting in front of you, that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would give the bayah to the women, or give them bayah and accept the pledge of allegiance and give them the ability to tawbah, then he would remind them of the, and he would follow that principle of the Surah Mumtahina. This is the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha is narrated, that she said that Rasulullah would put that ayah in front of him and give bayah to the women. Obviously men did the same. The men did the same. So how did Rasulullah give the bayah, the pledge of allegiance? And then Rasulullah, then has Aisha Siddiqa recited that verse. Allah Ta'ala has revealed that verse in Surah Mumtahina with regards to people doing tawbah, repentance, and that, oh my Nabi, that these believing men and women, when they come to you, when they come to you, this verse is in Surah Mumtahina. And what should you do? That when they come to you, then accept their pledge of allegiance. Give them the bayah. Give them the pledge. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would then give them the bayah. And the women would come. And the mu'minat we're talking about here, the believing women. And here, little bit, for example, you learn a bit of ilm. We say, I have no need to do bayah. And here we're talking about the sahabiyah, the great, great status of the sahabiyah, the sahaba. And we, today, in this day and age, if we get a bit of knowledge of ilm, we say, I don't have to do bayah with anyone or sheikh. I am this, I'm that, I'm learned. And here, this is Quran. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, that when the believing, oh my Nabi, that when the believing women come and the men, then give them bayah in this way. How essential it must be, and give them and accept, and then tell them to do tawbah. Was the first condition Allah Ta'ala kept. The first condition, the first step we have to go on to get into paradise is tawbah. So tawbah that me and you have done, this is not a small thing. Alhamdulillah, we should say alhamdulillah. You're not sleeping, are you? You're listening to what I'm saying? You're listening? I can't hear the answer. That how much important this is, that Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, when we see and feel that Allah's given a rahmah, mercy, we should say with happiness, Subhanallah. Is this a small ni'mah? This is a massive ni'mah, massive reward, and we don't even know about this before. What a great ni'mah we've been given. We think that these are seeds of some fruit, of an apricot or something, and we just play with this deen that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in iman. The Quran is a witness, the hadith are a witness, as Aisha Siddiqah is telling us, and Rasulullah Amal is telling us this, that every woman, this is about the believing women, from which even the men get the lesson, that every person needs to do tawbah in the same way. Whoever wants paradise, whoever wants to go into paradise, this is the first condition, the first step is tawbah, repentance. How many men and women understand the importance of tawbah? The Mashaykh Ikram, the walis of Allah, do you think that they're playing games? That they're tricksters? That they come here to play games? They are the deputies of the Nabi, of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given them the maqam. Everything will continue. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the verse of the Quran, gave bayah to the women, and this action will continue to the Day of Judgment. The mashayikh ikram, they are fulfilling this function, and the women are attaining the faiz and the blessings in the same way, and they're reaching high to the ranks of maqam and iman and getting into Jannah. MashaAllah. So, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha said that when the women would take bayah from Rasulullah, would give, and then Rasulullah never touched any woman. Now understand this point, that what is the true bayah? Who are the true sheikhs? Who are the genuine people? Who are the mashaykh? And today, who are the fake people? With fake, not that you take the woman's hand and you grab hold of her arm and the woman's kissing your hand, the sheikh, the teacher. No, as Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha especially mentioned in this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never touched a woman with his hands. Subhanallah, this is hadith. So it's very clear that yes, a woman has to take bayah, pledge allegiance to the sheikh. But no, he's my peer, he's like my father, he's everything, he's pure, it's okay. And the peer, he's embracing the women. And you know, she's like my daughter, and he's embracing her and kissing her, and she's kissing his hands and she's pressing his legs and he's doing everything. What is this? This is haram. This is unlawful. As Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha said that yes, the women would take bayah with the Prophet ﷺ, but how? The women would sit down and Rasulullah ﷺ would make them recite these verses that were revealed in the Quran. The same kalimat. The woman would sit down. She would sit down. And then she would recite these kalimat. And yes, for the men, it is stated for the men, Rasulullah ﷺ would take their hand and give them the bayah, the pledge of allegiance. Not for the women. No touching. Aha. And the women would sit down. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell them to do tawbah. And how would the women do tawbah? Rasulullah would take promises from them. The total verse. That take verses, that the verse of Quran says that take the promise to Allah that you will not do shirk. You will not ascribe partners to Allah. That these were the mu'minat, the sahabiyya. So why is Allah Ta'ala asking them to say we won't do shirk? Why? Because the women, they're very delicate and weak on these points. They have light mind. That one peer has come, they run there to ask the peer, do dua for any children, whatever. Husband is upset. And then if the husband's upset, she will run to the peer. Oh, my husband's upset with me. Please tell me, what shall I do? Very few women will understand the reality. So the woman who is weak-minded and hearted, they run towards doing shirk. Shirk is not just bowing to the idol or worshipping an idol. There's different ways. So playing with the deen, to change the laws of the deen, all of this comes into shirk and to mock the deen. For example, I have a little bit of length of a beard, then I trim the length, and then I make a different shape of the beard, etc. So I'm playing games with the deen. And to play games with the deen, manipulate Islam. Sometimes it's this color, it's long. Sometimes the niqab is worn, niqab is taken off. Where is it written? I don't need hijab. This is not immodesty. I can do this, I can dress like this. All of this is included in shirk, because this is playing and challenging the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you put this color on your beard. Sometimes you change the length or you cut it. Sometimes you keep the mustache long and play, etc. with it. What is this? This is deen of Islam that we have learnt. And Allah ta'ala has given us the connection, the nisbat with the deen. And we joke with the deen after that. We challenge the rulings of the deen. Ajeeb, different forms and appearances come out. There's a sahib, I tell you the truth now. And when I meet him, then you can recognize from the face of the color on the face, and from far you can see that you think that, oh, he's put some color on his face, but it's the color on the bed. And what's the color? Today I met him as well. When I met him, then what was the situation of the color? That when I went later to him, I speak to him, then straight away when I go back home, then I say to my family that I feel like I want to eat zabda, sweet rice. That's the color. I don't understand. What is this masala? Sometimes you come and you try to eat zabda. They said, oh, can you cook this? Because this is the big secret here. There's a person I meet and his beard, the color of his beard is like the sweet rice. So I remember, oh, I need to eat zabda, sweet rice today. I say, subhanAllah. That is there no bigger joke than the deen? This is this a color to have of the beard? What kind of brightness is this? What tariqah is this? So this is istihza' deen. This is playing games with deen, joking with the deen. So these promises, and definitely this happens, Allah Ta'ala says that don't make the deen a joke. Don't play with the deen. Don't try to trick yourself and others. If Allah Ta'ala gives you the tawfiq to keep something, then have istiqamah and steadfastness and have respect for it. And this is a part of the deen, a category of the deen that you are practicing. For example, you've got the tawfiq to wear the imamah, to keep the beard. Alhamdulillah, there's a permissible color in the sharia. Apply it to your beard. Don't put it onto your face, and you're putting it on your beard, and then you're painting your face with that bright orange color. Is this a tariqah? So you're appointing the color to the bed, and then you're painting the face around it at the same time. And the women folk, the first promise that you will not do shirk. You will not do shirk. And don't do any action that is opposing Allah Ta'ala's principles and laws. That Allah Ta'ala is saying, leave this and don't do the action that Allah Ta'ala, for example, you are following your desires, you'll go and worship, you will ask for those things from people, human beings, that are not correct things to ask. And in this tariqah, to go and try to obtain something, the ta'weez is not haram. Let me tell you this now. Ta'weez, to wear the ta'weez is not haram. To write the ta'weez is not haram. I've seen Hazrat Arif Billah, my sheikh, who can be the greater than him, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, was there anyone better than him to follow the sunnah? So immersed in the sunnah in my life, I've not seen anyone who is more immersed in the sunnah than him, my sheikh, rahmatullah. And I'm speaking about him. And if he can do this action, then you will call that shirk. The whole generation to one side, I'll say, my sheikh, he was haq, and he followed the sunnah in his every actions. SubhanAllah. And there's dalil. He will have dalil. And he would give ta'weez to people. He would write and give to people. Yes, in the written form. And wear this. You can wear the ta'weez. He would give this. And there are hadith that back this up. And has a Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullah. He's written a kitab on ta'weez, on writing the blessed writings onto paper and given to people for a solution. And this ajiz was instructed, when a man or a woman comes, then give them 3 ta'weez and for drinking, or to give to them. But remember this one point, that give them the ta'weez to save them from shirk. So listen to the philosophy of Hazrat, who's the walis of Allah. Hazrat said that you're giving ta'weez to the people to save them from doing shirk. Because people, what is ta'weez? How does a person save from shirk? In this way, if we don't give them the ta'weez, and who gives the effect, the impact of the ta'weez? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who allows the ta'weez to have impact. And what's written on the ta'weez? The Quran. It's the verses of the Quran on paper. The verses, the kalimat, that have links with the pious predecessors who recited things, who taught us. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has it said that one way of doing du'a is what? Is that you should put your hands together. Another tariqah is ta'weez, that you are writing and making du'a. And so this is also a du'a that you are asking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be staunch and arrogant that the things that have come from our pious predecessors that approve from the hadith, from the actions of Rasulullah, we say this is shirk and this is not allowed. No, that you are saving people from shirk if you give them ta'weez. Because women who have small minds, they said, give me a ta'weez. If you don't write a portion of the Quran and give it to them in written form, then Allah Ta'ala, it's up to Allah if He corrects them, improves them, gives a solution or a cure. So it's not the ta'weez that is the objective. For example, you're taking a medicine. You're not saying that the medicine is curing you. It's Allah Ta'ala who's curing you. The medicine is a means. It's a medicine. It's a means for the cure. Because of the doctor says, if I don't give him the medicine, then this woman will go to the peer, or the man will go to the peer, and he'll make that person do shirk. And then tomorrow I'll be asked that woman, why didn't you save her from shirk? You could have written my name on paper, Allah Ta'ala says, and then it's me, between me and my servant. I would have cured that person's issue. So what a great thought of my Hazrat Shaykh, and thousands of women are saved from shirk, because they run to the peers, to people, to the wrong people, for solutions. And this happened. And you can test, for example, you say, no, I don't have anything. Straight away they'll go, oh, let's go to this amil, this magician. They'll start doing shirk just to get solutions for their problems. So if you explain to them, how do you explain to them then? Bring them to the right path. So this, mashallah. So shirk, Allah Ta'ala say, told us to stop doing shirk or save ourselves from shirk. And then the next step, not to steal, not to do actions of immodesty, not to kill the children. This whole Quran is taking the promises from the people. This was bayah. The Muslims pledging allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called tawbah. And have you done tawbah like this? Say it loudly. Have you done tawbah like this? I can't hear anything. Subhanallah. These were the words that we exchanged between us, isn't it? Isn't it? And this was what we did, tawbah, and everybody did this 10 day repentance. I did the same, didn't I? Say alhamdulillah that we have done the right thing. That the desire is there and we have acted out. We've implemented the action of tawbah and like the sahaba did. And all these promises that we gave to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will remind us. So Allah Ta'ala said, oh my Rasul, when they promise they will leave all these sins, then give them the pledge of allegiance and then comes the reward. So Allah says, first tawbah, promise to leave the sins, and then the pledge of allegiance is given, the bayah, and then the sins, and then the rules come. So a person who done all the wrong and comes to the shaykh and pledges allegiance, gives his hand in bayah, then Rasulullah was said to, by Allah Ta'ala said, then after they pledge allegiance to you, oh my Nabi, then do dua for the believers. Allah Ta'ala said, oh my Nabi, do dua for those people. Imagine the maqam that the sinful person is getting. So if Rasulullah is doing dua for a person, imagine the maqam, the status of that person. Imagine. So this is the first reward of bayah, pledging allegiance and doing tawbah, is that Rasulullah will do dua for that person. And Allahu Akbar, that this man himself or woman will do dua themselves. They will present themselves to Allah. Inna Allaha ghafurur rahim. Allah Ta'ala says, I won't just forgive this person, rather all of his sins, Allah Ta'ala says, I will transform into good deeds. So who's this for? The person who has not done this in his life, he's the biggest loser and he cannot get to the next step in the destination. Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Do tawbah first. What's the second thing? وَأَصْلَحُوا. Now let's listen. We think, oh, I've done the second thing. This is all about doing, isn't it? To go to paradise, we have to practice, we have to act. We are the people of action. We have to save ourselves from Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says that this is how you can be saved from hellfire, from the hereafter. And the second thing, وَأَصْلَحُوا. Subhanallah. That the meaning of bayah is not just this, rather the meaning of bayah, pledging allegiance, is to do your islah. Not that you've just pledged allegiance to the sheikh, you've done bayah to the sheikh and you're forgiven. Those people who just think bayah, go to a sheikh, wali wala, do tawbah, wala, forgive me, I'm forgiven now, I've gone to paradise, I don't need to do anything after that. No, this is not the objective of taking bayah. Giving bayah to the sheikh. The objective of giving bayah is that you've done tawbah, you've repented, now you are like a nice clean piece of cloth. Allah says, you're white clean cloth, I've purified you. Allah says, now what is your job? What's the next action? Wa aslahu. Allah says, rectify yourself so that the total white sheet that you have become now, that no blot or stain of a sin can come onto your sheet. Wa aslahu, Allah Ta'ala says. Rectification. Now what is this? To do our own islah. To do our rectification. Now, those who say that I've done tawbah, I don't need to do islah now. Some people say, why should I go to a sheikh to do tawbah, to do bayah, give bayah, pledge allegiance, etc. What need do I have? I can do this myself. Now, Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala said, recite istighfar, pray salah, all of this is the ibadah we should do. I said, yes, fine, you are right, no doubt in this. But Allah says, wa aslahu, then how will we do our islah? Can you do your islah yourself? Has a person ever done islah for himself? No person who stands in front of a mirror will call himself ugly. Rather, he will say, I am Dilip Kumar. Yes? Dilip Kumar, the biggest actor is me. I am this person. Yes? There's nobody more handsome and beautiful than me. Everyone else is foolish. Look in the mirror saying, I'm beautiful. And one eye is closing slowly. And his nose is bent and his lips are bent. He's saying, oh, this is beauty. And people, they'll run after my beauty. And never will the mirror say to a person, when a person looks at himself in the mirror, or him or her, they will say that I am the most beautiful. And when the person leaves, they say, oh, you monkey, you're running around. He says, I'm a monkey? You call me a monkey? So the islah, only a person can get islah, rectification, when another person tells him his or her faults. And then the person will say, these are the sins you need to leave, and the actions you need to do. So it's lazim that a person needs to go to another person to do tawbah and to do islah. This is necessary. It is essential to go to a sheikh who can spiritually refine you, me. So what's the objective? When I am bayah with someone, bayah doesn't just mean that he's my teacher, I've learned the lessons of dhikr, and I'm successful. We don't take bayah, we don't give bayah. Imam Jawzi, rahmatullahi, someone asked him, Hazrat, beautiful point. He said that wazifa, dhikr, tasbihat, is this better? Or to do islah of the sins better? Tell me what's better. So he gave the answer, the situation is such that if you have a dirty, smelly piece of cloth, and you, is it better to wash it, or should you decorate it and apply fragrance to it, and you try to make it look nice, and you press it, is that better, more important, or is it to wash it? He said, to wash it is more important. He said, in the same way, you need to do the same. that the dhikr, will it benefit you? If you've got sins and impurities, if you've got a dirty, smelly cloth with bacteria and you're applying fragrance and scent, and people say that this person is foolish. The first, wash this cloth, get the impurities off the smell and the stench. Take that off first. So, the maqsad, our objective, the people who don't do the islah, who don't leave the sins, they have not understood the objective of bayah, nor have they attained the objective of bayah, of pledging allegiance to a shaykh. Are we doing this now, my friends? So the first thing is, we've done this, haven't we? So why have we given bayah, taken bayah with the shaykh? How many times have we tried to leave the sins? How much have we kept ourselves clean and save ourselves from the sins? Now Allah Ta'ala says, what do we need to be saved from for islah? The system, the Quran gives us a system that we've been given, the tariqah of bayah, islah, rectification. This is how we have to leave the sins and haram, except everything we say is jais. And nothing will benefit us. Dhikr, nothing. I've told you many times before, don't come into deception. Doesn't matter how much maraqba you do, meditation, dhikr, wake up in the night, whatever you do. But the other condition of Allah, waslahu, if we don't save ourselves from the sins, then no ibadah will be useful to us. The Quran says no benefit whatsoever. Leave the sins first. No benefit from bayah if we don't leave the sins. SubhanAllah. So, Allahu Akbar. Next, Allah Ta'ala says that how the islah will take place. But what things we need to leave? Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, total yaqeen on Allah Ta'ala's Quran, on Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on his statement Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah SAW said that something's haram, leave it, then we leave that action. We do tawbah, then we leave. Rasulullah SAW said, do this action, we have to do that action. Wherever the Quran guides us, a man, wherever the hadith guide us, that's where the person follows the footsteps and follows the instructions. Here, what do? We do bayah with the shaykh, we pledge allegiance to the shaykh, and we for spiritual advancement. We say, why is this why do I have to leave this? Why is this haram? I don't think that this is wrong. This is okay. How can we say that this is wrong? All of the people in the dunya are doing this. How can this be haram? So this person's done bayah. He's done bayah. So where's the yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Quran is telling us. وَاحْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, have yaqeen in me, and you should have such high tawakkul in Allah, the trust in Allah, that whoever you've done bayah to Allah, Allah says, I've given you rewards, and your yaqeen should be so great in Allah, that whatever Allah Ta'ala orders and instructs, that is where the success lies. That is where the success lies. Understand. وَاحْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Is this the point, isn't it? This totally easy formula. It's not hard to understand. So we ask somebody, get a fatwa. We don't need no fatwa. The Quran is giving a straightforward message. So have we realized how important is bayah? The bayah, pledging allegiance to the shaykh via the Quran's instructions. And those men and women who are doing this, are they fortunate or not? Are they happy or not? The mashayikh ikram, they are fulfilling their duty. Are they fulfilling their duty according to the Quran, or are they doing bidat? Innovation. Decide yourself. Tell me. So is this not the case? Alhamdulillah, what a big benefit. Those sisters and women folk, the women folk are mentioned here, and those men who have done this action, that what a great action that they have carried out, that they have understood the path through Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, these are those mu'mineen, believers, that I will send them into paradise, who will come in this way to me. They'll do tawbah first, they'll do their own islah, they'll eliminate their sins, recognize and identify and leave their sins. And وَاحْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, whatever Allah Ta'ala's orders are and instructions, whatever Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no society, no city, no nation, no leadership of a country, but whatever Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have said, leave, he will leave. She will leave. If the government said that apply this belt, we accept. We apply the seat belt and implement the laws, because it's become a law. It's the law of the world. So what we want is the law of Allah. When it's made, how much we should accept it and implement it. We should be very cautious, attentive and focused, that if Allah Ta'ala grabs us here, the police will grab us, worst case, and we are scared and we follow the laws. And obviously if it's a crime if we don't follow the laws of driving and the road. But here, Allah Ta'ala has told us to do something and we leave this, and don't we know that Allah Ta'ala will grab us? And how severe is Allah Ta'ala when He grabs? That here we can release ourselves when we're, for example, penalized. But can any power of the world be released from the grip of Allah? No power of the world can be. So here Allah Ta'ala says that we should have so much yaqeen, that man, that woman, that believer, we're sat here, we've done tawbah, we think it's just dhikr and dhikr and nothing else. Who has told us this? It's not just dhikr, that we should be leaving the sins. Leaving the sins is the biggest action. We should stop disobeying the Prophet Muhammad SAW. Come out of the darkness. A person who does bayah and a person who does dhikr without bayah, there's a difference between, like the difference between the heavens and earth. To make your parents beard imama and do dhikr, you think we've attained paradise? Who has told you this deceitful statement? Look at the other person, waslahu. That وَاحْتَسَمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. What does he do? The fourth condition that Allah Ta'ala says, with akhlasu, with the sincerity, with humbleness. Allah says, okay, fine. What's the third thing? That my hakams, you will practice my laws, Allah Ta'ala said, with yaqeen, with certainty. But that amal, what amal will be accepted? Wa khlasu, the deed with sincerity. So it said, lillahi, that deed in which there's not even one particle's dust of contamination for anybody else, khalis, purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purely, subhanAllah. So when a person does dhikr, then it's purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A good deed a person's implementing purely for Allah. And there should be not 1% or 0.1% or any percentage of contamination of the dunya's gain in your ibadah or deeds. Allah says that's when your tawbah will be accepted. That when you, if you don't have ikhlas in your deeds, then your deeds will not be accepted. What's ikhlas? For example, a person comes and he wants to cross the road, he's daif, he's weak, you disembark from your car, you grab hold of his hand and you take him across the road. So is this a good deed or not? Tell me. You have? MashaAllah, good. Now, what's he done? After that you ask, what do you do? And he says that opposite here by my warehouse. And suddenly shaitan says, oh, let me ask him for a favor. He's got a warehouse. What do you do? And you take his phone number so you can exchange dunya. So your amal is wasted because you're now looking for dunya benefit. Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? So you become bayah. Pledge allegiance to the sheikh to improve you spiritually. You say, who is this person? His students are around there. Oh, let's take his phone number. He's got this business. And sheikh is hosting dhikr. And outside there are relationships and fights and disputes and quarrels. Don't know what's happening. So will their dhikr be accepted? No, because dhikr of Allah we should be doing in such a way. I sat in Khankas as well, even today. If you ask me the names of the students who used to be in the majlis, collectively, I swear by Allah, they know, but I don't know anybody's name. I swear by Allah, I don't know anybody's name. We didn't go there for relationship building. I don't even know who was Khalifa and who's not. Just follow your own way. I thought this is me and my sheikh and that's it. And Allah Ta'ala is after that. And I didn't know any third person after. I've come for my salah. I don't know who's this, who's not this. No one's invitation did I accept. Nor did I go to anyone's house to eat. And many great personalities came. And I used to think, always pay attention towards my sheikh. Tasarufan, Hazrat Subhanallah, what a great sheikh he would give me. The guidance that through the hearts the exchange would happen. The person would come, MashaAllah, Masjid Rahman, to ask. And his name was Abdul Rahman. He used to come for, mashallah, the charity. And he was in the dunya. Whenever I'd go, he knew I've come from Manchester. I will go there to Manchester. I will go and stay there and ask for charity and money and collection. Let's give him da'wah. Let's invite him. So I used to understand everything. He came to me. I'm telling you the event now about ikhlas, sincerity. So he saw the madrasa, mashallah. And you'll see that what is the madrasa, mashallah. He's made a palace, air conditioning, luxury, comforts. Yeah, his madrasa that he's constructed, this person, maintained. And he said, Faruqi sahab, I want to invite you. I said, me? And, I don't go to invitation. No, this cannot be. I've made fish, nice fish, etc. And really nice fish, the words I'm telling you. Beautiful fish and machli and mangoes already. And these are very nice mangoes and tasty. And all the delicacies he was stretching out, drinking. And even my mind was lost for a few moments. Subhanallah. And the food was very tasty and delicious in sound. He was saying, he kept on coming after me. Come on, please, please. And it was dhuhr time. And then I went and Hazrat was sitting here. Just a little bit of distance. And then I requested Hazrat that please, Hazrat, release me from this person's grip. And he's trying to take me for a dawat. I don't even want to move an inch. So please. And then I requested. So when he came to shake Hazrat's hand, Hazrat said, just do your job. Why do you pester the fakir here? Subhanallah. And his color changed and he couldn't even say that I've complained. And he just stopped there because this was the words, the dialogue, the communication. He thought Hazrat's got kashf and he ran away from there. And I was free. Subhanallah. So my brothers, ikhlas is a very big thing. We've done tawbah. After tawbah, we've come to do dhikr. And we are still doing dunya, worldwide transactions while we're doing dhikr in the khanka. And we're trying to make relationships for the sake of business. Allah says, no, wa khalasu. I want total sincerity in ikhlas. And wherever there's ikhlas in the deed, Allah says, fine, you have to have business, transactions, do what you have to do. Away from it. But for the sake of the deen that you are seeking Allah, then you should only seek Allah there. Nothing else. You're going to do Umrah, Hajj. And then what do people do? For example, somebody's coming, oh, you know that man, and they'll make him strong, take his phone number, he's from Makkah, Medina, they'll invite him, do everything. He's come from Medina. And what will happen in Medina? Then, subhanAllah, so they'll go there and stay with him. This means they want to stay in his residence. What is that Umrah? What is that Hajj? You're going for have tawakkal Allah that all your life never take anybody's assistance. I'd prefer to stay in the road as opposed to the relatives. The relatives were unhappy with me. They've come to meet Allah. I don't need anybody else here. There can be no bigger host than Allah. and Allah will prepare for me and prepare food for me. Why do I need somebody's phone number in my pocket? Never was this my principle in life. Never. Never did I have this principle. And I would go, for example, if I had any relatives, uncles, aunties, everyone who was there, they would be unhappy. Is this the case? You are mutakabir and pride. You think you are something. You can think and feel what they want. But what I consider that I'm going to meet Allah, I don't need anybody's help, assistance. SubhanAllah. There shouldn't be a second person between a sit in the Kaaba and you're going and sitting for the sake of Allah. Sit as long as you want. So brothers, when you are doing an action for the sake of Allah, then there's no mixture or contamination. So here Allah Ta'ala is explaining through a system. First, what do we need to do? Say it loudly. What? Tawbah. Repent. And after Tawbah will be what? Waslahu. Islah. Rectification. So much fikr and worry over mareed should have. So much worry a mareed should have that I've done Tawbah. Let's give me Tawbah. And not that all my life goes, that Imam Jawzi Ramadhan said that, what a great Imam. That don't eliminate your maqsad, your objective of Tawbah. That a person after doing Tawbah, he doesn't do his Islah, doesn't shun the sins, then he's wasting his time. The question doesn't arise that he will not get, the question doesn't arise, he will never get faith. So if a person doing this, then what's the third point? So first Tawbah, second Islah, rectification, third step, to follow Allah Ta'ala's orders. Implement Allah Ta'ala's orders, and after that, we need to have ikhlas, sincerity, and no other thing. Four clear points, and then when we do dhikr of Allah, we present a pure salah, we present a pure dhikr of Allah, we should present everything pure as deeds. Then Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أُولَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Now Allah Ta'ala says, now you are corrected, and I will give you the ala, highest grade of paradise that you asked for. Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar, the mu'minan ajrun azeem. Allah Ta'ala says, a gift to the mu'minun. Ajrun azeem, Allah Ta'ala is saying. Great words. Ajrun azeem. Take all the palaces, mansions, jewels of the world together. Allah says, azeem. Greatest reward, surpassing everything in this world. Aha. And a final point for the Sufi, for he who tries to get to close, who's getting closer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have revised and understood what I've just said. Wasn't hard to understand, was it? But there's another point that comes up here. That this course that has been delivered to us, and we understand this now. So what do we need to realize? That in the court of Allah, that our deeds, are they being accepted? What position are we in? What are we not? What is the rank, the status we're getting? And for this, for example, Allah Ta'ala has given and told us something very simply and easily. We need to make a note of this so that our deen becomes easy. That all these four steps we just discussed, Tawbah, Islah, following Allah's orders, and the fourth point of ikhlas, sincerity. What will Allah Ta'ala look at before Allah Ta'ala gives the rank, the level? And this is the principle of Allah, not from today. All tradition of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah Sunnah. This is start from the Sahaba Ikram, from the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's been explained in the Quran, this usul, this principle. The principle of what? That when these four, when we implement deeds with these four conditions, then be very careful of one thing. That a person, there will be people who will get the high levels and high firdaus, and there are departments within firdaus. Remember this, not this that this is Jannatul Firdaus. Even in firdaus, there are levels, categories. MashaAllah, one level, then the next level above. There's one department in firdaus that is very close to the arsh, and people will reach to that destination in Jannatul Firdaus, very close to Allah Ta'ala's arsh. So here now, there's a point here that we need a very essential ingredient. Listen carefully, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Listen carefully to that ingredient. And we need to judge ourselves that how successful am I at the moment? How elevated am I at the moment? And how Allah Ta'ala is accepting what I'm doing? And we'll realize that from this point, from this condition. Because we've got that condition within us that's being informed. Shall I tell you what that is? Say SubhanAllah loudly. Aha, everyone's got a tree in paradise now. A tree. So what is that action that Allah Ta'ala said, that Allah says the genuine point is this. That the Sahaba Ikram, they were all companions, and this is from the Sahaba. All of them were companions, weren't they? Weren't they? Sahabi, they were all Siddiq. Weren't they? Siddiq Akbar was one. Siddiq Akbar was one. And there was Siddiq, all of them were Sahaba, but Siddiq Akbar was one. What was the reason for this? What was the reason? Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the Quran, the events, and the Sahaba were told. So Allah Ta'ala says that different levels I have set aside, I have maintained different levels for the people. And on which basis have I kept the levels? Even within Firdaus, Allah Ta'ala says that human beings, we assess a human being from the same scale in front, outside, inside. And Allah Ta'ala says, those things that I have guided and given direction, how much in the heart of that person does he give up effort of his own, utilize his own effort to attain the good things. In other words, to attain the beauty of the deen, how much does this person make effort and strive? And how much does he go through the challenges? I'll give you the example of dhikr. There's a majlis of dhikr. And we want to enter into this majlis. Now, the person who gives more, you can say, effort towards attending the majlis, then his daraja will be higher. Do you understand what I'm saying with ease now? Yes. Yes. So one person comes to do dhikr when his mood is positive, when he's got a car, when he'll get a lift, or if somebody's not home to meet me, when there's nothing to do, no work, no job, okay, I'm free, let's go and do dhikr. Is there thawab for this niyyah of dhikr? Another person, my guests are coming, I've got challenges, I've got to leave on time and get there on time and leave them, etc. Then he slips away from all of the attractions of the dunya, and like a fish, he slithers through the water, says, I don't want to leave the gathering of dhikr. So all of his, you could say, commitments, he sacrifices in a nice way, and attends dhikr. Allah says that this second man cannot be the same as the first man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hazrat Abu Rasulullah said at the time of the expedition of Tabuk, that collect your wealth, and the Sahaba Kiram were told to come forward with everything they had, and all the Sahaba were Sahaba, everything they had, they bought, there was a mound of the jewels, and finally Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came. And how did he come? You know, there are nettles, and he had a blanket wrapped around him, and there are nettles, like thorns on his blanket. It's not even been stitched. He's coming the same way. Hazrat Jibreel Islam came from the heavens down. Said, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has said that your today beloved companion, the libas he is wearing, that in the whole of the heavens today, Allah Ta'ala has made the angels wear the same libas. He's put on your libas. Why? Because he was asked that, what is the reason for this? Abu Bakr Siddiq was asked that, what is it you've bought? The Rasulullah said, what have you bought? He said, I bought everything. And what have you left at home? Allah and his Rasul, nothing else. That's it. So he became the highest, the most elevated. So the more effort you make, the more you give up, the more hassle that you have to undertake to attain something, the more you sweat and strive and struggle and crush your desires, annihilate your desires, and suppress your desires. My husband used to say that remove the sins and remove the bad desires and immerse yourself in Allah Ta'ala's deen. And that's when you will be elevated in the court of Allah. That whatever desires you have, and you try to eliminate your desires, Allah Ta'ala says that to eliminate a sin, to accept the points that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the total desires, we have to crush them. We have to crush the illegal desires, and then that person gets closer to Allah, closer to Allah. So in these four steps, the obstacles that will come in doing tawbah, our islah, rectification, leaving the sins, and to attain ikhlas, many obstacles will come. And the person who surpasses all of these obstacles will get the highest status at the end of the day. So we need to leave the things that we love that are a waste of time. We are sacrificing our time of life, unique and valuable time, for minor things. So the more we make effort in this path, Allah Ta'ala says, in that same way, I will elevate your status. And the final thing that we need most essentially is that we need to sacrifice our desires. We shouldn't stop at shunning our desires. Allah Ta'ala gave us the standard, that what was the status of his Habib, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah said that your mother, father, dunya, relatives, buildings, assets, that if you don't love my Habib more than everything that I've just mentioned, then the iman will be that you can cry all night long, recite Quran and scream out. All of this will be a drama. Allah will say nothing at all. And then you need the asal thing that's inside you. Allah says that in this dunya, busy dunya, whatever restrictions come, obstacles come in obeying the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you continue to reject the mother, father, family, extended family. When a person gives up for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah Ta'ala says, now he's become mahbub, my beloved servant. So this is not the game for children in a playground. We go to do tawbah, we put obstacles, thousands of double thoughts. What will happen there? What will happen there? And the person drops that wall. Doesn't matter what's happening, I'm going to give bayah. And then secondly, about islah comes, we have to accept that we are wrong, crush the desires, suppress the desires, and maybe stay at a distance from relatives and go pass through thousands of situations. Alhamdulillah. Then the next stage comes, ikhlas. Sincerity, person makes struggle and effort, the amount you have to make effort for ikhlas. And all of the companions, subhanAllah, they had this formula in their lives. And this was the signature, this was the unique sign, was that they sacrificed their desires for the improvement of life. Today, for example, hukum comes, leave everything, and they left everything. Have you seen this? Have you seen the example like the Sahaba? They had no other quality. They used to pray Salah the same way, read the Quran the same way. And today, the Hadith and Fiqh. So they didn't even have that in that day and age. The biggest amal of the Sahaba Ikram, which Allah Ta'ala liked, through which Allah Ta'ala gave them their degrees and elevated them, was their effort and their sacrifice spiritually, and how they gave their lives, effort, all of their lives, effort for the deen of Allah. Yes, and we say, no, what will this generation say? This can happen, that can happen, etc. This is right, this is wrong. Well, this is permissible. If I do it this way, then it's right. If I don't do it this way, it's not right. What difference does it make? Oh, I prayed Salah, isn't it? It's fine. That I can do this, I can do that. That's it, that's all. There's no difference in there, is there? We say, and what was the order there? But this was not just this. Where's the hukam coming from? We say, it's fine, I can leave this. Do we understand? Where's the order coming from? So all of these dramas will be unraveled in the hereafter. And elevated will be that person who gives sacrifice, makes effort with sincerity, and crushes his desires and becomes funa. Allah Ta'ala, my Hazrat Ramadan said that when you do this, then you will be accepted in Allah Ta'ala's court and prison. So you have to crush the desires, remove your desires. Keep on refreshing yourself. Others say, where is this in return? I can do this and I can, this is permissible, etc. That the colors of the world are so many indeed. And you can get lost in the colors of the world. There's just one color that is the truth and the haq. And what is that? Subhanallah. This is the color of this generation we're living in. There are thousands of colors. There should be just one way, one method of the Sahaba Ikram, which is the most solid and robust color, and which was from the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers, alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful message for today, but nothing is difficult. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that why should this be hard? When you follow the footsteps towards this guidance and you do the amal, then Allah says, inna Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, the amal muhsineen, I'm with the muhsineen. So what's there to worry about? That you will be scared when you don't do the, oh, don't do it, this will happen, that will happen, oh, you'll be lost. Where will you eat from? Where will you drink from? If you do tawbah, your father will tell you, get out of the house, your mother will criticize you, your husband will go against you. That's it. So from here, jump, whatever anyone does, but Allah Ta'ala is with me, isn't it? All the time, that's it, one word. Allah Ta'ala is with me, we'll see what happens after that. That Allah, my Mawla, is with me, isn't it? And then I will start to implement these four steps with the fadl of Allah, do true tawbah, repentance, then eliminate the sins, all the sacrifice you have to make to leave haram. Whatever Allah Ta'ala said, that's it, end of story. This is a sin, I will leave this. Doesn't matter what I have to do. You have to do, if I'm not doing this, then you can have the turban to the skies and beard to the ground and wear clean white clothes, whatever, then you will be just like the magicians. But in the presence of Allah, nothing is accepted. These four points, if we follow the systems in the way in the Quran, then Allah Ta'ala will say, ah, these people, the mu'minun, they are with me, they are next to me, and they have my assistance. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.